Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
104.3 The Fan presents Big Al and D-Mac with a big story of the day.
The big story of the day for me is that the Colorado Rockies found a way to get the win last night, stopping the longest losing streak in team history at 8. There will be no 9 losses in a row for the Colorado Rockies. And with that, I welcome you guys to the show. D-Max out. Chad Brown is sitting in with me. Chad, how you doing today, man?
I am fantastic. And to talk about the Rockies little bit you started the show with, even a blind squirrel can find a nut every once in a while.
It was getting pretty dire there, man, with those losses just adding up. You know, like, all-time losing streaks never is good in sports. So when you start to, you know, participate in something like that, you want that thing gone quickly. And we found a way. Marquez went out there last night, battled. And, of course, we exploded in the third inning. I mean, that was great with the back-to-back-to-back home runs. And it feels like, you know, things can be right if we get this going in our pitching department, because our hitting is really, I mean, the hitting is just taking off. And once again, Trevor Story goes yard. That is always fun to see. Cargo with that classic swing went yard. It was a great game last night, and we got the dub. That's the only thing that really counts in this whole part of this season. And, you know, when you think about the Mets too, you know, I think they are like 18, 19 behind first in their division. You think that one is a gimme. You know, every time you see the weaker teams come in, you just think, you know, just go ahead and hammer those guys and get it over with so we can get this thing righted. But, you know, didn't happen in game one. Game two, it was good, and we'll see what happens tonight. And see if we can get this thing going, around.
Before you put that one to bed.
I'm not going to. Go ahead.
Is that repeatable? Is that sustainable?
I think the hitting is. But we still struggle. You know, we turned the game over with a huge lead in the seventh. I mean, Ottavino, you know, gave us a scare there when the bases were loaded. But he threw a pitch, man. I thought it was just a beautifully executed pitch. But apparently...
You're talking about that Chris Iannetta?
Oh, my goodness.
Where he just fooled Iannetta straight out of his socks?
I mean, Iannetta, man. I mean, the way he looked at Iannetta when he threw that pitch, you know, like he's just basically standing over home plate with his hands on his hip like, you got to be kidding me. A run was scored there on a strike. A strike right down the middle, and Iannetta misplayed it. And I just thought to myself, if I'm a pitcher, now this is the second time I've seen, this is the second time in three games, four games, where I've seen Ottavino since he's been back off the DL. How long was he down? 10 days. So he played a game against the Texas Rangers last week, and he threw an inside pitch, man. Like he basically told the entire defense, I'm throwing this ball inside. Look for it to come right off of the first baseline if it's hit. And you could see him physically yelling into his glove because he executed the pitch and the ball went where he wanted it to go. And it didn't happen. There was no play. And he, you know, he surrendered a hit. And then last night, you know, this guy is battling in the seventh. And all of a sudden, man, you know, by the way, Brian Shaw, he's got to find a new place. Got to find a new place for him. Brian Shaw right now.
Struggling.
He's struggling. Got to find a new place for him. Mm-hmm. Brian Shaw is, I mean, he came in and gave up, what, two runs quickly. I mean, you got to find a new spot for this guy. He cannot be trusted. There's nothing like an athlete, Chad, that you put on the field that you cannot trust.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're all thinking about one guy that we played pro ball with. You say, can't trust that guy. He's always going to do his own thing.
Yeah, Alfred Williams of Colorado. Is he going to set the edge or is he not going to set the edge?
I was thinking more like Junior Seau. You don't know what he's doing because he's on his own plan.
Right.
But cannot trust him, man. So, you know, Ottavino was called into action in the seventh and he worked a clean eighth. And, you know, this was... this was great. All Wade Davis had to do is come in and go 1-2-3 and shut it down, but he gave up two runs. I'm like, this, you know, it's just, we got to hand over our bullpen a five or six run lead every night.
Yeah.
That's just not cool. It's just not cool. You know, it does not feel, you know, this was supposed to be lights out. You know what I'm saying? This was supposed to be Sean Marion style. You know, lights out as soon as those guys come in with the ball. But it's been exciting to say the least, man. And I mean, you know, you can hear the tension in the fans in the stands. You know, it's an eerie feeling. Like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
You know, like,
we got 10 runs, and that may not be enough.
Right.
It's 10-5 in the seventh. That may not be enough.
It may not be enough. Now, we end up surrendering three. But once again, Iannetta, all he had to do was catch the ball. I mean, it was right down the middle of the plate, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, it broke right into his chest. Ottavino looked at him like, you gotta be kidding me with both hands on the hip. Like, are you serious? We just gave, I just surrendered a run on that in the seventh. But once again, man, the Rockies, man, find a way to get it done offensively, and away we go. Who's on the bump tonight? Let's see. Me and Zach Bye were talking about going down to the game tonight, and it's Chad Bettis versus Seth Lugo tonight at 6:40, and that's the third of four games against the Mets. Nice game. It really was. It really was. That third inning was exciting, though. You know, Drew and Spilly were trying to do an interview during the game in the third inning. It just exploded. They couldn't get the interview done. They had to extend it to the fourth inning. But it was fun to watch. It was fun to watch last night. Chad, it's almost that time. You know, the NBA draft is tomorrow. The mm-hmm. NBA draft is tomorrow. And I've been paying attention to one story in particular. It's the Kawhi Leonard story and what's going on with Kawhi Leonard in San Antonio. Now, to me, I think this signals what's going to happen in the NBA and what could happen, you know, with the Denver Nuggets possibly making a run next year for the playoffs. And what we've seen in two consecutive summers in San Antonio is last year, we saw LaMarcus Aldridge ask for a trade, and Greg Popovich had to talk him off the ledge, right? Greg Popovich is making a trip to go visit Aldridge to make sure that he's straight. And, you know, he joked with him, and Aldridge expressed how frustrated he was with the team last year, and he just wanted out before the start of 2017 season, and the way that they got into the playoffs last year with that team with no Kawhi Leonard, I just thought that was a great coaching job. But then this year, in back-to-back seasons, now remember now, LaMarcus Aldridge was the first guy ever to ask for a trade from the San Antonio Spurs, ever, under Greg Popovich. And the next year, Kawhi Leonard is asking for a trade out of San Antonio. And you ask, well, why is this significant? You know, I mean, why is this significant for Denver Nugget fans? Well, if Kawhi Leonard goes to the Los Angeles Lakers, now he's already told every team out there, he's destroying his trade value. He's told every team in the NBA, if you sign me, you're signing me basically for this year. Next year, I'm going to leave you high and dry, and I'm going to the Lakers.
1 year rental.
You can take me for 1 year. I may play for you, or I may not play for you, depending on this injury. But next year, no matter what, I'm going to the Lakers. This is why this is important for Denver Nuggets fans. We were in the ninth position last year, and we missed the playoffs by one game.
Mm-hmm.
If we see Kawhi Leonard go to the Lakers, it almost signals that Paul George is going to go to the Lakers, and it also figures that LeBron James is going to go to the Lakers. So what does that do? That pushes us down one more position because that team is going to be in the playoffs.
Right.
Now, the question I have for you today is, even though you have those three great stars, LeBron James, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Can we still coexist with the Ball family? Your Los Angeles Lakers, the team you grew up cheering for, can the Ball family make it there with LeBron James? Or does that mean that if LeBron signs in Los Angeles, goodbye LeVar Ball?
I'd have to think that's the easiest decision a GM would make or any talent person in the NBA would make. Yes, you move on past the Ball family and you go with LeBron James, you go with Kawhi Leonard, you go brand new, you get rid of that entire negative circus and you bring in a circus of incredible talent. Obviously, it's going to be a bit of a circus with that many superstars on one team, but it's a positive circus. It's a circus about winning, circus about championships.
Right.
Not about
these distractions.
Shoplifting and bootleg shoe sale and trying to sell T-shirts and all that other crap the Balls did. This is going to be about balling and winning.
And Lonzo Ball probably will hit the bricks and be out of Los Angeles.
Oh, absolutely. They will cut bait in a second.
It feels like you have a grown-up team in Los Angeles with LeBron James, Paul George, and Kawhi Leonard. And at some point, it's going to happen this year. I mean, it's Kawhi Leonard is throwing the draft right now. I mean, this deal could be done in the next 24 hours. Popovich flew out to meet Kawhi Leonard in San Diego.
Yes.
San Diego. I mean, the draft is a little more than, 27, 28 hours from now. I mean, golly, man, this thing is right around the corner. We're talking about major change in the Western Conference and a shakeup that pushes the Nuggets down one more spot.
Well, just beyond affecting the Nuggets in this particular division or conference, I think there's a throughout the NBA ripple to this whole thing because everyone's waiting to see what happens here and the dominoes that are going to fall because of it. But what I see here is this is now kind of like everyone has seen the Patriots offseason, where the cracks are starting to show. Player and head coach who seem to be absolutely on the same page and in love with each other now aren't.
I don't know if Kawhi Leonard ever was in love with Greg Popovich. I know that Tim Duncan was, but, I mean, look, man, Kawhi took a max deal. He didn't take a team-friendly deal. He never negotiated for anything less than the maximum every time. That's a different story.
Well, they're offering him 5 years, $219 million, a supermax deal.
Well, I mean, but this is this contract. Last contract that he signed, it was a max contract.
Right. But Kawhi Leonard was certainly a quieter guy. He wasn't a guy to go out in the media makers. But they made it seem as if he had a great relationship with Popovich. He loved being a Spur. He loved kind of a more anonymous part of being a Spur that you would not get in a bigger NBA city. They certainly painted a picture as if everything was rosy there. And when you have a coach like a Popovich, when you have a coach like a Belichick, kind of my way or the highway kind of guy, we're now beginning to see guys feel comfortable enough to push back against that.
They don't like the authority. They don't like the old school way of being handled. So I'm seeing that now.
So it's one thing when Cassius March comes out and says, I hated being a Patriot. I couldn't wait. Cassius Marsh.
Exactly.
Yes. It says, I hated being a Patriot. I couldn't wait to get out of there. But when Tom Brady starts pushing back on the program and missing OTAs, and Gronk starts pushing back, we've been talking about this new athlete for a few years now, about 5 or 6 years now. Guys, athletes making enough money, feeling very comfortable, feeling power that comes with that salary, status that comes with that salary.
And the shoe deals NBA guys.
Right. But I think this is not just NBA. Again, it's spilling over to football. In the organization that is the most buttoned up, that has a term about themselves, the Patriot way, even that is now no longer enough. And the star player, one of the players who firmly establishes the Patriot way, is now starting to push back.
In both organizations, San Antonio Spurs with Kawhi Leonard and Tom Brady with the Patriots.
So I see the basketball ramifications of this Kawhi Leonard thing and what's it going to mean to the Nuggets and all across the NBA. But I see that as an extension of us in the media been talking about these new athletes and their new mindset. And this is the most visual representation that I've seen of this. It's one thing for LeBron James to, wear a black hoodie or the Black Lives T-shirt.
Right.
Or go get on stage at an award show and say something political. but it's quite another for a guy like Kawhi Leonard to push back against what is acknowledged to be one of the greatest coaches in NBA history.
No doubt about that.
In
no
Greg
doubt
Popovich.
About it.
It's quite another when Tom Brady, the guy who helped establish the Patriot Way,
yes,
pushed back against the guy who helped establish the Patriot Way with him.
And highly considered one of the greatest coaches in the history, if not the greatest coach in the history of the pro football.
And maybe all the sports. So, wow, isn't it fascinating? These guys, these incredible coaches, they get older every year. These athletes get younger and get a little bit different mindset every year as time goes on.
I mean, and is it up to the young athlete to try to, you know, understand the ways of the old wise coach? Or is it up to the coach to understand the ways of the young wise athlete?
I think.
Or the young, should I say the young dumb athlete?
I think it used to be tilted, you got to get on the same page with the coach. But guys like Steve Kerr, I think he's shown that you can get on the same page with the athletes, still win, still have a locker room that respects each other, still have a team that's not wild and out of control, but you can show these younger guys the respect that they demand, the respect that their salaries give them, and the power that their salaries give them, but still keep it together and win games.
You know, I was thinking about this, Chad, and I came to a conclusion that usually if you want the star athlete and the coach to get along, they have to be like in the same mindset, the same mental groove. You know, like if this guy is happy-go-lucky, then the coach is happy-go-lucky. The team is happy-go-lucky. Like the personality of the team has to match the personality of the coach. Do you believe that's an accurate statement, or are you saying, you know, the coach is the coach, the player is the player? Because I think the players take on the embodiment of who the coach is. You know, we talked about a little bit yesterday how in Seattle, we saw Pete Carroll encourage this, and you brought it up. Pete Carroll encouraged this rebel with the cause kind of training camp and practice and voice your concern right now. And it seemed like it's backfired on him because that's the environment that he wanted. That's the environment that the Seahawks thrived in. But now, you know, he doesn't want it as much. You know what I'm saying? I mean, last year, going into the last offseason, they were talking about trading Richard Sherman before the start of the 2017 season because of all the things that Richard Sherman had said in the media. Mm-hmm. You know, you like it to a point, but then you don't like it. You know, and now it feels like Pete Carroll could be one of those coaches that's on the hot seat out there in Seattle for all these major changes that have been made there. And if they don't make the playoffs this year, maybe Pete Carroll's on the way out. I mean, it feels that the coaches that we have known, the graybeards, right, that have been responsible for a lot of success in these great leagues that we follow are losing focus with the younger athletes these days.
I think that's a reflection of the salaries. Now, while you and I played, we certainly made good money. I don't want to complain about that or diminish the money that came from our time playing. But when you've got a Kirk Cousins fully 100% guaranteed
deal, whatever he says, you're going to do it.
Right. When you are Von Miller and 65% or 60% of your salary,
he's going to hang out on the sideline and do whatever he wants before the preseason games.
Right. So that it has taken away some of the power from the coaches and from the front offices.
I like it because you should have a player that matches your team.
I agree. So I don't have a pushback against players feeling their power because that's what they are. With tremendous money comes tremendous power.
Yes, that's true.
You hope
Good point. That
they use it correctly. So the coach doesn't necessarily have to be the only leader of the organization, and every player doesn't have to line up with everything the coach says. But I think they need to work together to try to achieve it. Now, you know, Kevin Durant, Curry, Draymond Green, all those guys out in Golden State seem to respect Steve Kerr.
Yeah.
He seems to respect him.
It seems that Steve Kerr is one of them.
He instead of trying to be an authority figure,
right,
he's made himself one of them, but the leader of one of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, kind of like, you know, I'm thinking about Phil Jackson when he had Jordan in those days. You know, he was one of them. You
yes.
know, a tough guy who challenges guys mentally. And, you know, and I think about Tom Brady and the toughness that he shows late in games and never give up and the attention to detail shows up all the time. But, you know, there may start to be a rift with these younger guys in this mentality. Later on in the show, man, I'm going to give you this list of coaches from youngest to oldest in the NFL, and I think it's going to be a surprise to see where we regard some of our great coaches and what's the reality of the issue. Because, you know, maybe we have poured too much into veteran coach.
I think your ability to relate to the players and then get them to go along with your message, whatever your message may be, is extremely important. So while Dick LeBeau was 80 years old,
yes,
he was one of the most relatable human beings I've ever been around.
Yeah, me too.
To see him laughing and joking with a 20-year-old rookie, I'm like, I got a hard time having that same kind of relationship with my own kids.
And you know what? You played for Dick LeBeau. I played for Dick LeBeau when I was a rookie. Uh-huh. And he was always that way. Just a gentle soul, a gentleman, and he wanted things done right.
He wanted it done right, but his ability to relate to everybody in the room.
Yeah, you're right.
So what happens with older coaches is they don't forget how to coach. They forget how to relate to people.
Mm.
They lose the ability to because the players stay the same age.
Right.
You get older every year.
Right.
So it's not your ability to call plays.
Right.
The same plays that work still work for the most part. But it's your ability to get to relate to that 20-year-old rookie, get him to buy into your message. That's what older coaches start to lose.
So that's something you have to work on, I guess. And it's Greg Popovich's turn. And it's going to absolutely, you know, don't be surprised tomorrow if you start hearing about trade here, trade there, all because of the Kawhi Leonard wanting out of San Antonio deal. Now, Greg Popovich flew there yesterday. I'm quite sure Kawhi Leonard and his camp told Greg Popovich to go pound sand. We want nothing to do with you. And because of it, we may see movement all across the NBA draft. The Nuggets could be in the mix to move up. This could be a different song and a different story by Friday. By Friday morning, there may be 5 to 10 transactions that we didn't see, and it's going to be exciting. I mean, and I think it's going to start tonight, and it's going to go all the way up until the start of the NBA draft. But, you know, there will probably still be selections and dealings after the draft, after the player is selected by the team that wants the player. But what an exciting time. And hopefully Earl Boykins is right that we have a 40% chance of getting LeBron James. Big 3 at 3:30 is next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big 3, presented by Sam's Number 3 Diner and Bar.
Hey, everybody, this is Big Al with the Big 3 at 3:30 with Chad Brown. And unfortunately, we have sad news because a great Colorado Buffalo has passed away, a former WWE pro wrestler as well. Big Van Vader has passed away. Leon White, after dealing with 2 years of congestive heart failure problems, passed away at age 63. Chad, but it does bring me to one of my greatest memories as a CU Buffalo. We used to do this thing called spring game against the alumni.
Oh, yeah.
CU used to play a real game against the alumni. The older guys would come back, suit up, and play against us.
I was there.
Do you remember Van Vader taking one of our teammates? I don't want to name him because he'd be embarrassed. Taking one of our teammates after he won on a play, taking him the next play, picking him up and driving him into the ground. Now, this guy was an all-Big A performer, and he was Mr. Everything. But when Van Vader put his hands on him, man, it was ugly. And I just remember thinking, I don't ever want those problems.
I saw
what Van a powerful Vader, man.
I saw him in the weight room doing reps with like 500 on the bench, just toying with it before that alumni game. Now, those alumni games were quite crazy because
they had beer on the sideline.
Some guys took it real serious. Some guys didn't. Van Vader came to play. I don't know if you remember when Cliff Branch came back.
Behind my man Deion Figures. I would never forget that.
Cliff Branch went up top three times. Once on Deion, twice against my roommate Julian Hayward for touchdowns in the alumni game. The alumni are not supposed to come back
and clown
the current CU players. But a guy like Cliff Branch and Van Vader can get it done. Van Vader it was always cool to me. You know, here's this guy whose pictures are on the wall, but he comes back. He's in the weight room. He's around the program, but he's also a international wrestling superstar.
It's time! It's time! It's Vader time!
Big Sexy, I know you are the wrestling guy. Can you give us the Van Vader wrestling background?
Actually, I can't. That'd be Zach Bye. I'm not going to even claim to what he does. But
okay.
I mean, watching Van Vader when I was growing up back in the early 90s in WCW, and I think that was the heyday of what wrestling was and when it was good. And when wrestling, when you would punch somebody and you would actually, you know, accidentally punch somebody. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? But Van Vader, I mean, he's almost a 400-pound man that's pulling a moonsault, a backflip off the top rope. It's absolutely ridiculous how athletic this man was in the ring.
Yeah, no doubt. He'll be missed around here. Bongos.
Three.
Adam Silver went on ESPN today to talk about how some of the fans are upset with Kevin Durant being able to go into an already loaded team. We opened the show talking about Kawhi Leonard trying to, looks like, engineer a way to get to the Lakers to now have another super team in the NBA. Does this whole super team thing bother you? And does Adam Silver, commissioner of the NBA, does he have a responsibility with the new CBA coming up in 2023 to try to prevent this kind of thing from happening?
No, I mean, the way that you want this to happen is organically. Good players want to play with good players. And when you've reached the age of free agency, then you should have the right to go wherever you want. The worst thing that I want to see happen is a franchise tag in the NBA, a franchise tag in Major League Baseball, a franchise tag in the NHL. I want free movement, and I want guys to want to be where they want to be. It's better for the fans. It's better for the players. And in overall sense, it's better for the game because, you know, when you see great players play, there are expectations. Now, we knew that there would be an expectation for the Golden State Warriors to take on the Cleveland Cavaliers all year long. Nobody saw that, that all-star point guard Isaiah Thomas was not going to work out for the Cavaliers. Nobody saw that not working with LeBron James. It sounded like they replaced an all-star with Kyrie Irving with Isaiah Thomas, and away we go. We didn't know that they were not going to have the kind of help that they needed, but we all forecasted the finals. I like being able to forecast the finals and know the participants. Do you?
I've always been a fan of winning and winning teams trying to repeat because, in my mind, that is always a much bigger hurdle than being the team that slips in there unexpectedly. Mm. It's so hard when everyone's gunning for you. So when everyone's like, I like to root for the underdog, I'm like, I always root for the champion. Because I know how hard it is to be a repeat champion and how much more difficult and special that second championship in a row is. But one more thing to this point. You talked about having complete freedom for the players. Then that would prevent teams like your old team, Cincinnati Bengals, with only giving out one towel for the guys all season, with not giving guys Gatorades.
One jockstrap all year. One jockstrap.
The teams themselves would be forced to compete on a level.
It happens in baseball every year. We're okay with it. Every now and then you get the Kansas City Royals to win a World Series. You may get the Florida Marlins to win one year. Hey, you're the Diamondbacks. Padres, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, you never know. I mean, you still have to play the game. But, you know, the perennial stars will be the perennial stars, and the teams that want to spend big, they're going to spend big. It's just what it is. Just because you spend the most don't mean that you will win the World Series. Ask the Houston Astros about that last year.
Ask the Yankees about it a number of times. Bongos.
Yeah. Three!
Houston Rockets fans are still bitter of being knocked out of the playoffs by the Warriors. They've gone on the Yelp to take out their frustrations on Ayesha Curry. Now, she is opening a new restaurant in Houston. Steph Curry's wife is opening an international smoke in Houston in July, and a bunch of haters have already bombarded the page with anti-Warriors trash talk. Wait a minute. If the woman runs a good business, okay, she runs a good business, sells good food, is this fair because she is married to a star of the opposition?
Absolutely, this is fair. Aisha Curry has
Open a restaurant in Houston. Open it in Oakland, huh?
Has gotten her chance to be on the Food Network and gotten her chance to be on the morning shows and got a chance to show off her cooking prowess, not because she's some, you know, amazing cook, which she may be, but because who she's married to.
True that.
This opportunity to open this restaurant is not based on her own merits. It's because who she is married to. So for these fans to push back, particularly in Houston, it makes sense to me. I wouldn't expect anything less. I'm surprised that she has not tried to saturate the Northern California market with restaurants first before trying to go down to Houston.
Oh, Chad, you make a good point there. I have no argument against that. I thought it was a little out of place as well. Now, I don't know if she has a restaurant in Northern California, but if she doesn't and I was her agent, I would probably tell her to open it up in Northern California and let the chips fall where they may.
Open up next to Marshawn's. You know, Marshawn's got his Beast Mode shop. Open it right next to that place.
Well, I mean, they're technically moving over to San Francisco here soon. So, you know, you probably want it in San Francisco, not in Oakland.
True.
Right at Taco Bell, and I couldn't even get no quesadilla.
Hey, man, we're going to wrap that up. We'll wrap it up. That's the big three at 3:30, man. Great news, man. Great news. I had a question about whether or not Von Miller was a real superstar. Well, we have definitive information to say that he is next here on The Drive.
It's The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Welcome to The Drive, Big Al and D-Mac. D-Mac South, Chad Brown is sitting in with me, and you know, Chad, one of my favorite players, and he's been one of my favorite players on the Broncos since he signed here as a rookie, has been Von Miller. I mean, I was pounding the table for him when he was coming out of Texas A&M, a guy that I saw play in college and just loved his game and knew it would translate to the NFL. Number two pick by the Broncos overall. Pretty hefty draft position, and you just never know how it's really going to work out in the NFL draft, but you have a feeling when you see special players. And I thought Von was a special player when he was in college, and he ended up being the Super Bowl MVP and certainly a guy that is a fixture around here. Just recently, last week, we saw Von Miller out at training at OTAs. Well, it was a mini camp officially. At mini camp, and he was wearing this these dreadlocks in practice, and we were just, you know, saying, hey, why is Von taking it seriously? And I'm like, yeah, you know, it's minicamp, man. You know, don't worry about it too much. And then we find out later that he was part of a restaurant kind of, what do you call it, a switcheroo kind of deal where you know, Von is the celebrity waiter.
Yes, like the guys who disguise themselves and they do Uber driver kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So Von went undercover as a waiter last week, and here's a little bit of that audio from last week.
Downtown to Garden Grace for a little disguise and surprise for Broncos fans.
He's training, so he's learning the ropes. So
My bad. Sorry, guys. My bad. I've never worked in a restaurant. This is my first time.
No, you are fine.
Oh, nice. You had a great job for your first time.
Yeah, first time. My bad, guys.
Coach Arona is one of my favorite regions for red wine.
So you got a coat that you want to... You got a coat that you want to put up?
We're going to try wine with the straw.
Yeah, so this is the one you want right here?
Yep. I think that's what we're going to go with.
Would you like straws with that? Would you like straws? The wine on the palate with the straws.
Is that
magical?
How you do it?
Yeah, with a straw, with a wooden straw.
I don't know.
Never use it though.
I bring wooden straws, you can try it.
Never heard of wine with the straw. It's just actually a thing.
You gotta try it, man. It's crazy.
So it goes on like that, and then Vaughn basically tells everybody that the Broncos are having, what's the official name of the food fair? The Taste of the Broncos. And I saw it, and I was like, well, I don't know if everybody in Denver would know who Von Miller was. You know, I think they would know who Peyton Manning is because he's been in all these commercials. And, of course, Von has had his deal with Old Spice and other commercials out there, local commercials. And I was like, you know, he's big here in Denver, but is he a megastar in NFL terms? Well, we know that we've seen Von Miller on Dancing with the Stars. Recently, he just put together a pass rush camp that's going to happen in Arkansas here soon. Branson, Missouri. And now he has Studio 58, which is a smashing hit. I love watching those shows. Every last one of them make me laugh. I like the guy. What can I say? I really like him. But then you start looking around the NFL at the jersey sales of the top 50 players in the NFL, according to Dick's Sporting Goods jersey sales report for the last 30 days. Now, what was interesting is that Case Keenum was number 47. He just flew up the chart. I mean, new quarterback, you know, D-Mac on draft day was like, does anybody have a Case Keenum jersey? Well, now he's in the top 50. Demaryius Thomas is at number 32. Bradley Chubb, our rookie, jersey sales are at number 19.
Wow.
Number 19, right, as a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
Von Miller jersey sales are at number 5 in the entire NFL. That says that he's a star. Do you look at him that way, like he is a bona fide superstar in this league?
Oh, absolutely, without a doubt. I know you always push back when somebody cites money and equates that to playing ability or stardom. But if you go to spotrac.com, and any of you guys can go there, there's no membership there. You can go there and look up the top salaries in the NFL. It's all quarterbacks and Von Miller.
Right.
It's all quarterbacks and Von Miller. That's how that whole thing breaks down. He is higher paid than some starting quarterback.
So, our own starting quarterback here.
Yeah, so from a respect as far as team, respecting what you do, this contract is now what? This is going to a third year with this contract?
Yeah.
So it's still standing up against quarterbacks. He is a national superstar. You talk about Dancing with the Stars and all that stuff. He brings a fun lightness to the game that so many other superstars don't. Either they're too moody, they're too serious, therefore they're not relatable. Vaughn always appears to be having fun. That is incredibly relatable. Whether you're a Bronco fan or not, we like seeing guys who go out there and seem to enjoy what they're doing. He clearly enjoys it. He does it at a high level. And he plays a high-profile position. I don't think there's anything not to like about Von Miller. I know he had a rocky road early, but he certainly has rounded his way into becoming a great pro on and off the field through charity, through endorsements, has made himself a presence here locally, does the right thing, says the right things. Yeah, Von Miller has done a great, great job considering, you know, the start was not the smoothest, but now is just a great ambassador for the Denver Broncos and for the game overall.
It's kind of, you know, for me, it's still a little weird, you know, seeing him go from college to this superstar. Is he a super? Is it clear to say he's a superstar? I mean, jersey sales in the top 5 mean that you're a superstar. He's a superstar in the NFL.
Absolutely. He is a superstar. When people talk about players in the NFL and they start talking about defensive players, Von Miller has got to be in the first 2 or 3 names they say.
Winning the Super Bowl does it for you. You're the Super Bowl MVP,
yeah,
and you follow that up with terrific seasons afterwards, you'll be that guy forever.
When you have the kind of playoff run, not just the Super Bowl, but the playoff run that he had leading up to that Super Bowl, interception of Tom Brady,
right?
Big sacks, big plays.
That's right.
Yeah, he has certainly established himself firmly through that playoff run, and then again, continued success as a true superstar in this league.
Well, this is one of the commercials Vaughn was in.
Hey, Vaughn.
Got a sec?
What's up, coach?
I found this in your locker.
Coach, I'm delicate. Old Spice Invisible Spray feels so good on my skin. It's the only option for me.
All right, then. Get on back out there on the field.
12 men on the field. Number 58.
Come on,
I have
man.
Two Von Millers coming out at once.
Well, I just, you know, it's nice. It's nice to have one of those guys here. I mean, it's not our quarterback. Clearly, it's not our quarterback yet. You know, I hope it becomes our quarterback. Does Case Keenum have a chance to become a superstar? Like, what, I mean, highly regarded as the guy. Because the guy who just won the Super Bowl last year in Nick Foles is not a superstar.
No.
Even though you win a Super Bowl, that does not make you a superstar. You got to win multiple Super Bowls. You got to be in the conversation. You got to say outlandish stuff to be a superstar. Antonio Brown's a superstar, you know, but not Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to have a social media presence.
The formula for being a superstar is either incredible winning or incredible production plus personality. Because Julio Jones, incredible production. But he's not a superstar. People, when they think about NFL football, Julio Jones doesn't pop to mind. But we've seen enough of Antonio Brown in commercials. The crazy, I don't know, what would you call that, Tetris haircut he had for a while. All those things and attempts to grab attention, saying outlandish things, sending out the Facebook Live video from the locker room after a playoff game. All that kind of stuff equates with popularity, social media likes, and you become a superstar.
Well, I was looking at the Twitter followers out there, and Cristiano Ronaldo has 73 million followers on Twitter.
Wow.
Okay. LeBron James has 41 million followers on Twitter. Before we can get to a guy in the NFL, we got to go way deep into, you know, the 40s. Carmelo Anthony is, you know, 36, and we still haven't gotten to an NFL football. Can NFL players be superstars? I guess Tom Brady is, but Tom Brady's not active on social media. I mean, in the top 100, you know, this list is fleeting when it comes to superstardom at the NFL level. Number 77, the guy with the most. Number 75 is Russell Wilson. Number 77 is J.J. Watt at 5.4 million. Russell Wilson has 5.5.
Yeah, the issue with NFL football is it's an American game.
Mm.
If you are a soccer superstar, you are worldwide. If you are an NBA superstar, you're famous in China. LeBron can't go anywhere in China. You know what I'm saying? Tom Brady can go to China. J.J. Watt can go to China and do whatever they want and not be hassled and bothered. But if you're a soccer player, you can't go in Europe. You can't go in Latin America.
Right,
you can't go in Central America. You can't go anywhere. Football players are anonymous outside of the 50 states.
Mm. Well, there is one other former football player that is part of this top 100 most popular people on Twitter. And he's sitting at number 89. You want to take a guess who it is?
Former player?
Well, he's an NFL player.
He's current?
No, former.
Tim Tebow.
Damn it. Thank you so much. God bless y'all.
Tim Tebow.
Love you too.
Even though he's out of football, is number 89 as most followed athlete in the world.
He is a professional baseball player, guys.
That's right.
Come
he
on.
Is a professional baseball player. 4.9 million followers for Tim Tebow.
I've been stuck at 9,000 for about 2 years. I can't even crack 10 grand.
Go ahead. Let's get you up, man. What's your Twitter handle?
At Chad Brown 94.
At Chad Brown 94. Get his status up, Denver, Colorado. Coming back at the Big Four. Football at Four. We have a former football player who is starting to make waves about making a return. It could happen. I'll tell you who it is next.